Welcome to the Founding Fearless podcast. We're your hosts, Ingrid
and Cameron,
and we're here to support you through your journey in becoming a fearless leader and discovering your inner confidence.
We are talking all things entrepreneurial through a college woman's lens. We hope to leave you feeling empowered after each episode. Enjoy! Welcome back to another episode of the Founding Fearless podcast. In this episode, we are interviewing entrepreneur Alexa Curtis. In 2011, at just 12 years old, Alexa started a fashion blog called A Life in the Fashion Lane. It became a platform for her to express her feelings around everything related to teens, body image, and mental health. As Curtis evolved as a person, A Life in the Fashion Lane was changed to Life Unfiltered with Alexa Curtis and became a lifestyle website and podcast for teens and parents discussing topics such as social media and mental health. And through cold pitching, she managed to get sponsored by brands like British Airways, T-Mobile, and Land's End.
In 2018, Alexa founded the Be Fearless Summit, which is a pop-up summit that first appeared at Drexel University in 2020. Curtis has spoken at numerous colleges and spoke alongside Amal Clooney and Serena Williams at Penn Woman. She added hosts to her arsenal when she launched her own radio show on Radio Disney called Fearless Every Day with Alexa Curtis. When Curtis is not hard at work, she meditates frequently and makes time for hobbies like cooking and exercising to keep herself grounded. We are so excited to welcome Alexa Curtis to the Founding Fearless podcast.
We are so excited because today we are joined with entrepreneur Alexa Curtis. Alexa, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Okay, so we just want to jump right into it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your business, and how you got started?
Yes. So I am an entrepreneur and I started a blog back in 2011. I'm from a really small town in Eastern Connecticut called Mansfield. And when I was seven, my dad was wrongfully convicted and put in prison in Rhode Island. And so the year that he got out is the year that I started my blog. And so it started as a fashion blog and I'm 24 now and I've evolved it into this full-time lifestyle platform, had a show on Radio Disney. And then started, once I left Radio Disney, a college summit company called the Be Fearless Summit. And so now I just merged that with another company called Grasshopper in Austin. So really the core focus is inspiring predominantly women to be fearless, get out of their comfort zone, and really create and define their own personal brand.
I love your story. And, you know, I really want to go all the way back to like the beginning of your career. I find it so inspiring that you made a blog at such a young age. So what inspired you to create your blog, which was called A Life in the Fashion Lane?
I think because growing up, I didn't have any money or any connections, but I always really liked fashion. And so for me, and you have to realize too, back in 2011, blogging was not a thing. Like being an entrepreneur, all of this was not a thing. So for me, it was just a hobby. And along with fashion, I love to write. And so there was a focus for me there on assuming that I wasn't going to go to college because I just knew I was really not good in school, of creating something for myself. And so that was really the passion, was not only the writing, but also fashion, until I got older and kind of grew up with the people who had followed me since the beginning. But I think also because of what had happened to my dad, I was just very keen on creating a life for myself that hopefully like I would be able to give to my kids one day, because that's just not how I grew up.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs like started different ventures, like when they were younger, maybe without even realizing that one day they would really become entrepreneurs. And so I totally relate to that story. And when did you kind of realize that like your blog was becoming an entrepreneurial venture? Because I know it didn't really start out with like making money or anything like that. But when did you realize, oh, wow, this actually could be a business?
Honestly, I probably didn't realize it could be a business until I got the Disney show when I was, I think, 19. But I started making money from it when I was about 16. I had started a LinkedIn page and from there started getting different clients and stuff. So I was making money then. But really I realized that there was so much potential when they said yes to that, because of the fact that it was so unexpected that I was able to get that kind of opportunity with my background. And so that's when I started really gearing everything towards being fearless and showing people what they can do.
I find that so interesting because, you know, you were young when you started this. And so how did you advocate for yourself and speak up for yourself when you started getting these big opportunities with brands that they wanted to work with you at such a young age?
I don't know that I ever had a problem with speaking up or sharing what I thought. And I think that's why I never did go to college and never did have a traditional corporate job, is that's just not really in my DNA to deal with that kind of stuff. But certainly when I signed with Disney, I had to learn how to tailor that technique in business, because I was employed by them. Like, my thoughts didn't really matter. But I think then through like the brand partnerships and whatnot, what I really realized that is how to be super direct and how to be okay with saying no. Because sometimes you'll get an email or someone who wants you to do something, and it's just a little bit different than what you would ideally like to do. And because I had been doing it for so long, I mean, I had about 8 years of experience in entrepreneurship before embarking on a lot of those bigger brand deals, I was just so used to vetting things a lot, like very heavily. Whereas probably if I hadn't had that experience, I would have been a little bit more naive.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you ever get like imposter syndrome, like in those rooms? And how did you deal with feeling like maybe you didn't deserve to be in that room, or you were too young, or anything like that, yeah, that may have come to mind?
I always had slash do have imposter syndrome, I would say. There's a few moments that I certainly remember across my career, like getting off the phone and just having so much anxiety. And the exact feeling is feeling like this, I can't do this. Like, I don't deserve this. I don't understand what this is. Like, why me? And I think now it really is a lot more common for me if things really slow down and the holidays are very slow. This summer is not slow, but summers in the past have been slow. And that's usually when a lot of those feelings I find come on. So I certainly have gotten a lot more into always having a book to read or something to listen to and a really consistent workout schedule, because it's when things go really fast and then they go really slow that I feel like, wait, how do I adjust to that crazy week? It's almost like this high and now there's a low. So that is also, I think, just with age and whatnot, is getting used to those highs and lows and honestly accepting them and appreciating them.
Yeah, I think that takes like a lot of time, you know, and also like, you know, that's sometimes easier said than done, right? Or just like, okay, like I need to accept, you know, accept what's going on, accept my situation. But I feel like as you get older, like even in my situation, granted, I'm only 21, but like thinking back to like when I was younger, like 17, like compared to now, I feel like I have, you know, taken more like ownership over my whole experience rather than just like disregarding some moments. So something else I wanted to talk to you about was, whenever I look at your Instagram or your TikTok, your website, you're so positive and you're such a wonderful model of someone that's always like happy and that's like sharing their wisdom with others. So what motivates you to continue to share your positivity and wisdom with others?
People tell me that so often. And I certainly will say like, I am not always, I don't know. I find myself to be naturally like, and I think again, because I've been in business so long at this point, really nothing phases me besides like technical issues. So when something goes wrong, it's so hard for me to just not be like laugh, because I'm just like, of course, I've been waiting on this for like, I was supposed to get this free car. For 3 months, we've been going through this deal. And literally I spent $1,000 to get a ticket off of my record. I literally just got a call the other day that's like, you're not 25. We can't do this. And I just literally really, you guys just found that out now. But it's just like, I always think of it like, how am I going to think about this moment in 4 weeks, in 4 months, in 4 days? And I would say -1% of the time, do I ever think I'm going to think about those moments again? So I think that's also, I think the authenticity part of it is like, being able to be so transparent with the ups and downs. I'm not just, you know, a model who like posts my beautiful yacht pics all day. And so because of that, I find I'm able to take it and actually have fun with it.
Yeah. I think that that's a good way to look at life. If you're always just like drowning in the negatives, then you'll always feel like you're down.
Always.
So kind of being able to laugh at yourself is a really good trait to have. So this kind of goes along with the last question, but how do you get inspired and stay inspired? And we like to give like tools and resources like that are really tangible for our listeners to utilize.
I would say I certainly stay really inspired by constantly doing something new and constantly talking to new people. I would say like, you know, this call in particular over the calls that I had today, which were just a lot like more businessy and boring. I mean, this certainly inspires me. So I always do something ideally every single day that gets me around people who are certainly more in my age range or something. Cause I find that for me, if I can learn something, that's really how I stay inspired. And I think on the days where nothing really is happening or, you know, over the holidays when it's really slow, that's kind of when I use that time to just do things that I want to do or find out something about myself. Like maybe one time I tried a swimming class or like a drawing class, even if I hate it and I leave halfway through, I feel accomplished. And that inspires me to tell someone to do that or whatnot. And traveling, I mean, I would say certainly if you can travel in any capacity in your 20s, then that is probably where I feel the most inspired.
Yeah, I think that's so important just to like try new things and maybe things that like don't really fit your quote unquote like characteristics or like your hobbies. You know, like I one time took this class, it was a mindfulness class and it was at UT. It was the best class I ever took. And the professor there said, go back to your childhood instincts. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I need to get more in touch with my childhood self, you know? And so I need to take more like pottery classes. I want to do that. I want to take like a painting class. I think that would be really fun. So given all of your entrepreneurial success and your different ventures, what advice would you give to college-aged women who have big entrepreneurial dreams for the future, but might be stressed about school or their day-to-day life?
There is such a problem right now with definitely, I'm glad you guys brought up imposter syndrome, as well as a lot of young people not having access to like money and resources to do things. And I mean, I didn't grow up with money or resources to do those kind of things, but I would certainly say that in terms of like time management, the imposter syndrome and those elements holding you back from starting something, number one, I would say lean in as heavily as you can to like the career services. I've heard people say that they have a lot of success with that if they're in school, and some who say they don't, but certainly you're paying X amount of money. Like I would be milking every ounce of it and asking all of the questions and annoying everyone, because why else are you paying for this? And then second, on top of that, certainly if you are interested in entrepreneurship, the best thing you really can do is start getting some type of side hustle, even doing social media for someone else, even if you don't like it, so that you're able to start saving some element of money. So that whenever you have that idea, you don't have to get funding for it or reach out to people. You're able to do it on your own. And I think people think that it's just going to come, and it doesn't just come. You really have to be thinking about that. So use the resources and start something super small so that you have money coming in.
Yeah, I think that that's so true. I think people can sometimes get bogged down in like seeing what other people are doing and like, oh, they're out there shadowing this person that has so much success. But we also just like, we're really lucky in having a lot of free resources at our fingertips with social media and people doing free courses and things like that, that we can really utilize. So I think just like sending that email or sitting down exactly like what you said with that career services person or whoever at your university, I know UT has a lot of great resources, can be just a really great thing to utilize. So we want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the Be Fearless Summit. So what made you start this summit?
I was right in between signing with Disney and I had this idea. I was getting asked around the time when I started getting asked to speak at other conferences and whatnot and talking a lot more about fearlessness and entrepreneurship. I was going away from these conferences feeling like I wasn't really learning anything. And so I can't even tell you why I had this idea. I literally look back and I'm like, I think that's what the cool thing about entrepreneurship is I literally was like, wow, these conferences suck. Like I'm going to do something cooler. This will be fun. Like I interviewed all these people on my podcast. Everyone was really successful. Why don't I just get them in a room and like inspire other people? So I made this whole media kit, pitched it out for a year, didn't get a reply from anyone. And then ended up being at a conference I was speaking at in Pennsylvania called the Pennsylvania Conference for Women. And there was a booth there for Drexel. And I went up to the woman and kind of like jokingly was like, oh, like I'm Alexa Curtis. I have this idea and like literally no college wants it. And she was like, what's the idea? And I was asking her as more like, can you tell me why no one wants this? Cause I thought it was cool. And she was like, actually, that's like a really cool, you know, idea. We should start a meeting or have a meeting. And so I went down the next week to Philly. And they were like, we'll give you the space for free, but we're not able to pay you or anything. And I was like, oh, no problem. Like literally people are just going to come up. I need one room. And it really spiraled from there. I certainly didn't need one room. I definitely needed thousands of dollars I didn't have because it was just an idea. And so from there, I learned so much and then started pitching it to other schools. And then it kind of spiraled from there. And now we just had the first college funded one in February and a bunch of outreach from other schools. So we have another one now coming in the fall. And it was really just out of this need of like, I'm not learning anything at these events, but I certainly want to. So let me start that.
I love that. And I think that's such a hole in the market that you're definitely filling, you know? I mean, KS Welly, for those that do go to UT, it's very similar to that, but to have, you know, this huge summit for everyone, that's amazing, you know? And I think that to really just spread like inspiration to others is so important for right now. Totally. And so something else I wanted to ask you about is, so I know you have your upcoming summit and it's in partnership or co-done with Grasshopper. So I wanted you to share a little bit more about that and also a little bit more about what Grasshopper is.
Yes. So I was actually introduced by Leslie, who I adore, at the Kendra Scott Institute. And she and I were on a call a few months ago and she was like, I had started this program through Be Fearless Summit called Mentor Match. At the end of last year, like Q4. And I thought it would do really well. And to be honest, it just didn't perform in the way that I expected. And so I was kind of talking to her about it. And she was like, oh, I know another founder who started something similar, like you guys should talk. And so Heather and I, who's the founder of Grasshopper, we ended up getting lunch in Austin. And in the meeting, I just was kind of like, have you ever thought about a business partner for this? And she was like, I have really been looking for years, but I never found anyone. And her and I have a pretty significant age difference. I mean, I'm 24 and she's 42, but she and I think just really clicked and realized that the strengths that I have, she doesn't have, and vice versa. And so Grasshopper is kind of the technology behind Be Fearless Summit. Because this deal was signed prior to me having met Heather, there's going to be like very little involvement with Grasshopper in it, but come 2023, the plan is that every summit will be branded like a Grasshopper summit. So there will be less of the actual Be Fearless tagline, but she's incredible. And it's been awesome to not do it alone.
Yeah. Wow. That's so cool. And you mentioned a little bit about like the mentor side of things. So I want to hear a little bit more about that, because I think something that I know myself struggles with, but I think a lot of people our age also, is like where to find a mentor, what to look for in a mentor. So what would be some tips that you have for that?
And I actually did a talk with Kendra Scott on mentorship for you guys, and it was so awesome. But I would say, so the goal at every summit is that every mentee is matched with a mentor. And so we kind of did that at the UConn one, and now we're trying to do that at all future ones. But I think the biggest thing with mentorship is really finding someone who you're comfortable acknowledging your strengths and weaknesses to, and also really knowing how to show up for your mentor. I've, through the Mentor Match program, have been on a lot of calls with mentors and mentees and whatnot. And a lot of times after the call, I just realized I don't think that necessarily the mentee was kind of prepared. And so I think at the end of the day, this service for the most part is usually free. So you really want to know what it is that you need, know what it is that this mentor is going to give to you. And if you're unsure, be vocal with that and really try and start from the beginning then on going back to your mission and your values and your morals. And then hopefully from there, being able to come up with what the next step is for you to ultimately land your dream job or start a company, whatever it is that you're looking to pursue.
I think that's so interesting. And so kind of like still in this mentorship mindset, how does someone who maybe once before was a mentee and now they're older, now they're maybe a little bit more successful or they feel more stable in their careers, how do they realize that they're ready to become a mentor?
I would ask yourself, you know, do you feel like you are someone at this point who can give back? Can you share your story authentically? When I mentor people, for me, it's really important that I get asked the harder questions, like, how did you get through this? Or what made you do this? Because I think that's how you tell people how to pivot. And that relationship you want to evolve, and your mentor will probably see you go through a lot of those pivots. So if you're able to show up and be super transparent and super honest, then you're in a great spot to start giving back. So I would ask yourself that.
Yeah. And if someone like doesn't have the opportunity to attend one of your summits or have something, let's say through their university that's similar, what would you like recommend them sending like cold emails to someone that they find on LinkedIn, or like what's something that they can do like today to maybe get matched with someone if they don't have like a summit that they have access to?
So you certainly can do things like that. So we just started this membership. So the goal now is that we're able to give people and young women in tons of different cities across the country access to mentorships. So certainly check that out after this episode if that interests you. And so if you don't or can't find a group like that, you can always go through the cold pitch. It's not always super successful, especially with LinkedIn, because it's super weird, right? To just be like, hey, can you mentor me? And this person be like, I literally don't even know who you are. So I would say almost evaluate any past jobs you've had, internships, who really inspires you. And if it's not through a mutual connection, then certainly send a message to someone and be like, I would love to get you on the phone for 5 minutes and pick your brain about XYZ. And I think people are way more open to starting the conversation there, so that they aren't just getting a message being like, hi, can you mentor me? And you as the mentee, you know, doesn't know them personally or whatnot. Because like I said, this is time and this is their money in theory, because time is money. So you really want to be cautious of why you're reaching out and why this person and the best way to do it. And it's ideal that they know you and your background.
Yeah, I think that that's so important. And, you know, so I kind of want to pivot the conversation just a tiny bit and go into funding. So how do you go into these meetings with confidence? And also, two-part question, what is your number one piece of advice for women on funding?
I go into these meetings, I don't know, I don't want to say I have like an alter ego, but I think I go in very optimistic. I don't give myself a chance to think it's going to be a no, because then I feel like I'm so disappointed and so anxious. So I mean, Heather and I recently just got accepted into this really big VC fund firm, whatever it's called, in Austin. And I mean, when I got even asked to take the meeting, I just assumed it was going to be a yes. And it ended up being a yes. It doesn't always happen like that, but it's really cool if you can just go in so optimistic and ask a lot of questions. And if you get a no, be like, is there someone else you can connect me with? Or, you know, can I really ask you like why? And for the most part, especially with funding, they're just going to be like, it's too early. Like, we want to see more sales. We want to see this. And so I would say, number one, if you are a female entrepreneur and you're looking to get funding, it's very unlikely that you need funding until you really need funding. So use your resources, ask people. If you're not comfortable calling up some guy you went on a date with or girl you know who you know has a lot of money and being like, look, here's what I'm presenting and this is why you're going to want access to this, then you should not be in the room with VC, because you really have to put on, especially as a woman, kind of a very confident, cut and dry personality, because it's money and it's business. So I don't want to say you don't really want to show a weakness, but you certainly don't want to go in feeling like really confused or uncertain about your idea. And so if you're at that point, but you need money to pursue it, then start reaching out to the people who knew you from the beginning, and then wait a little bit to get in the rooms with the bigger people until you really know your idea in and out and why you need money.
Yeah. And I also think that it's important to note too, that like, if someone does say no, like that, don't let that, like, there's going to be probably a lot of no's, because it only takes one yes. So yeah. I like your advice is like going into it with confidence and expecting a yes. But if you do get a no, like, I don't think that that should let you or make you give up completely. Like, I think that there's a lot of opportunity to get funding from different places. And if you go in with confidence, then you'll learn something or you'll get money. So either way.
Yeah, there's so many online companies that want to fund ideas. I mean, look at like iFundWoman, or a friend of mine, Cindy Eckert, started this company called The Pink Ceiling. And it's a lot easier to be in the room with a woman, right? If you're a woman, I mean, it's just naturally less intimidating. So I always say as well, look up Google. Like, I remember when I was starting, I would Google philanthropists in Connecticut. Are there any people in Connecticut? And of course there are, who have started companies or sold companies and literally have nothing to do all day besides give their money back to other people. And I was like shocked at how many there were that came up. And that's a great person, a cold pitch, because they, you know, they have the money, you know, that they're looking for that. And it's probably just one person or a couple, not like a big fund.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think just a lesson just like from all of this is just confidence is key for everything. You know, for when you're going in for funding to a meeting, a presentation, a class exam, an interview, anything, I feel like you really just need to go in with that mindset of just like, I got this, you know, like I already have it, you know, it's in the bag. And if it goes the other way, it's okay. Like what we were talking about before, we have to accept our situation. And obviously that takes time, but that's how I feel like my perspective, my soapbox.
Every time I've been rejected, I am honestly so glad looking back that I was rejected. Like never once have I been rejected. And I look back and I'm like, that was the opportunity for me, because literally rejection is showing you this wasn't right for you. There's something better out there. So like I said, don't even let yourself get to the point of where you're like allowing that to let you give up. Just redirect that rejection to redirection.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. So now I kind of want to switch it to something a little bit more fun and lighthearted. So I know that you are the podcast host of Life Unfiltered with Alexa. And I know that you interviewed in the past Kelly Rutherford, AKA to anyone who doesn't know, Kelly Rutherford is the actress that played Lily Vanderwoodson in Gossip Girl. Could you share with us something that you might have learned from her or anything like that?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Kelly's a dear friend of mine. What I've learned from her, well, I certainly her story, and now that she started another company after leaving Gossip Girl, I mean, many years down the line, which is her company now, Shop Sovereign, certainly the rejection side of it, she has given me so much on that and how many shows she tried to go for before getting Gossip Girl, and also a lot of the cast members too, that they had also experienced all of that rejection up until getting that show. She's also just given me really great advice on, I think, social media. And I think that a lot of people get so caught up in the numbers and the following, and like, think, you know, when Gossip Girl came out, no one cared about your Instagram. I mean, that wasn't even really a thing. And so she's been really, I think, instrumental in not only helping me, but enabling me to realize that just because you have X amount of followers does not mean that you're not meant to be successful or that you aren't successful. It's just a number that people look at way too seriously. But yeah, she's also part of this membership program as well. So if you are a member, you'll be able to talk to her like literally directly. Like I talk to her through many of these different events and whatnot, along with some other really cool names in those kind of industries.
That's so cool. I feel like it's so important also to have like friends that are also entrepreneurs, but are in different industries as you, so that you can kind of learn from them about what they're also learning about. And yeah, so now switching gears a little bit, we have this new fun segment called the rapid fire segment. So we're going to move on to that. And basically we're just going to ask you a series of questions, and I don't want you to think too much about your answers. Just the first thing that comes to your head. So starting off, what is something that no one would expect about you?
No one would expect about me, because for some reason people think I like don't cook. I'm literally a phenomenal cook. Like my friends are like, you don't like what? I'm like, I'm actually such a good cook. So I would say probably that.
I love it. Okay. Next question. Do you have a morning routine? And if so, could you share it with us?
I have a morning routine that I did not do today, and I never don't do this routine, but, yeah. So I wake up, this is if I'm like in Austin or LA, I keep this like very consistent. So I wake up, I try now not to have coffee before I work out. So I don't have coffee till like 9. I feel like really detailed into this. I meditate for 20 minutes. I write in this like silk and saunder journal. It usually is just like me scribbling like my future husband, or I just write like consecutively, you're going to be fine. You are successful. You're going to be rich. And like why you're going to be rich in health and money. I write that in like 1,000 times. And then I take 3 deep breaths, and then I have tea because I'm trying not to do coffee. And then I go on my email before I go to the gym and like check my text then. But I really try and have as little annoyance in my like first hour.
I love that. It's really so interesting how I feel like so many successful people, their morning routines have like so many similarities. So yeah. I have some things I need to add. Okay. Who is your favorite entrepreneur or leader?
My favorite entrepreneur would be Allison Kay. And she's at SB Projects. She's like Justin Bieber's manager, Ariana Grande's manager. And my favorite leader would certainly be Michelle Obama.
Love it. Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Sex and the City.
Amazing. Movie. Okay. I know that you split time between Austin and LA, but what is your favorite place in Austin?
Like restaurant or just place in general?
It could be either.
Oh, I have so many. My favorite place is probably Commodore Perry. It's this estate like 10 minutes away from downtown Austin. But my favorite restaurant in downtown Austin is this place called Launderette. It's kind of close by walking distance to me on the east side. And I love it.
Love it. Okay. Next one is, what is your favorite quote?
Oh my gosh. My favorite quote.
I mean, fearless is just a mantra too. So yeah. that works.
If we can do mantra, I probably would say that.
Yeah. And honestly, that segues perfectly into our last question that we like to ask everyone. What does founding fearless mean to you?
Founding fearless to me means being comfortable, getting uncomfortable, and wanting to learn through that process. And I think to be truly limitless and fearless, you have to be willing to try new things and meet new people and be okay not being comfortable in those scenarios. And so I don't think you need to be doing things like skydiving every single day to be fearless. You really just need to try something new, super small or super big, and understand why you feel that way. And I think that's a really strong, confident, inspiring way to look at life.
I love that. Thank you so much, Alexa, for coming on today. Where can people find you and connect with you?
So you can find me on social media at @Alexa_Curtis, as well as at Be Fearless Summit. And then if you want to get a Grasshopper membership, you can do that at the link in both bios, but grasshopper.com/membership. And so that pre-sale will be solely up until the end of August, early September. And so, like I said, you get access to a lot of that incredible talent like Kelly and whatnot, and in-person events and everything. So would love to see some more of you guys there too.
I love that. We are so inspired by everything that you're doing. So thank you so much for coming on. We'll definitely link everything in the description so you can find it there. But Alexa, thank you for your time and for coming on and chatting with us.
Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to subscribe and follow the Founding Fearless podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to like, rate, and leave us a review.